To Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 this morning in God's Word. We've been looking in our summer experiences here in this year at the Word of God in different aspects in God's Word where He asks us not to neglect certain things. In Hebrews 13, we pick up the theme in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Then go to verse 16, please. In verse 16, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Interesting that God then, as He brings this book to a close here, would again introduce the theme of not neglecting, not overlooking. That as you and I go through life, new believers or older believers, that we have a comprehensive look at life and that everything that God would like us to do, we don't neglect these things. And the issue this morning that He would like to emphasize is a whole aspect of neglect in doing good and in sharing. The whole issue of generosity is what permeates this exhortation from God. Don't neglect in showing hospitality to strangers, of opening your life, your home, your things to other people and sharing them with them to encourage their hearts. Don't neglect in doing good and in sharing. The whole process of taking what you have, either tangible or intangibles, and then use these to help and bless other people. He says, "For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." And there's a sense where we need to look at this morning. There is in all of us, if you're honest with yourself, there's in all of us a certain sense of greediness and covetousness. We all have this little bug that affects us, or a large bug sometimes that affects us. We think our possessions are ours, and it's hard for us to share, hard for us to be generous with other people. Now, some of us, or some of you should I say, are quite generous with the things that you have. Your home is an open home. You're given to hospitality. You're open to strangers, open to new people. There's others of us that have a harder time with that. We're more tend to be more possessive, more tend a tendency to keep our things to ourselves, to not be as liberal, not be as generous as we'd like to be. And I think this morning God would like to speak to us today to not neglect doing good, not neglect in sharing. And the motivations are threefold here. Look at verse 16. Motivation number one: don't neglect doing good and sharing, because with such sacrifices God is what? This is what pleases God. You want to please the Lord, He says, then be generous with what you have. You want your life to be a life of worship. Notice He calls these sacrifices, "With such sacrifices, God is pleased." A sacrifice was an act of worship. God, I'm worshiping you, and I want to please you by having a generous heart, a generous attitude. So don't neglect doing good. Don't neglect in sharing. That is what really pleases God. Now look at verse 2. Second motivation, He says, don't neglect in showing hospitality to strangers. He says, "For by this, if you show hospitality to strangers, by this some have entertained," what? "Angels without knowing it." In other words, God will bring into your life, the word angel is used for the technical term for the special creatures God makes called angels. These special creations of God were sent to us as ministering spirits. But the word angel is also the word for messenger, angelos, any messenger from God. For example, human, someone that God wants to bring into your life to bring a special message to you or a special blessing. He says, by you practicing hospitality, by you being generous, God may bring into your life a special messenger who will then be a blessing to you, be of help to you, will bring something to your life that you so desperately need. By being generous and open and hospitable, you'll make this possible. Then go to Luke chapter 6. There's a motivation offered to us in Luke chapter 6 in regards to generosity and giving that all of us should be looking at from time to time. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Luke 6:38. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, "Give and it will" what? "Be given to you." They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. The Lord says generosity always is repaid manifold. He says if you are generous, if you give, if you are open to giving and sharing, he says, in essence, it'll be paid back to you, it'll be given back to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure. He says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, fully packed, a full return for your investment. If you're into the stock market, for example, you had a pretty horrible week this past week where the stock market took a major turn. All of you that are invested in the stock market want to have a good return on your investment. You want your stock to bring to you at least two digits, at least to come in that regard. Well, Jesus says, this is above the stock market. You are generous. You open your heart. You be a person that is liberal with your life and doing good. He says, your return will be manifold. It'll come back to you, not always in a tangible way, many times in intangible ways. It'll be given back to you. And so the Lord is in here motivating us in regards to that. And what I want to do today is just to encourage us along those ways, knowing that we do from time to time need God to take some WD-40 and just kind of loosen us up a little bit. We can become rather tight-fisted, rather covetous in our approach, rather self-centered, rather possessive of our things, and not be as generous as we should be. And so he says, do not neglect in doing good and sharing, because with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And in which measure you give out to others, it will be measured back to you. Now, before you say, well, you know, Pastor, it sounds like a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel you're trying to preach this morning, I can assure you it is not. All I'm saying to you this morning is what God says, do not neglect. Do not neglect. Don't sit in a pew comfortably with your possessions, with your fancy house and your fancy car and your pocketbook and all your things, and then keep it all to yourself. He says, no, be generous. Learn to give. Learn to practice hospitality. Take the things that you have and be open to share with the people that God has told you to share it with. And be open to that. Now go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 2. I would like to just take this other motivation that he gives us in chapter 13 and verse 2. Do not neglect in showing hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. He wants to motivate us. He says you're missing out on God's plan. If you are a person that withholds, not open to hospitality, not given to helping people and strangers for that matter, people that you don't know. And Jesus reminded us, he says to us, he says, you know, if you only help those that love you, what advantage is that? If you only help those that give to you, what advantage is that? He says, no, you should be like your Father who gives to the good and to the bad. He gives to everybody in abundance. Be this kind of person. He says, I want you to understand that when you participate in sharing, and you're open to strangers and helping them, it is amazing that you will be entertaining, in some cases, angels without even knowing it. Now, I want to take that phrase, take that truth, and expand on it just by referring to the people that God is referring to in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Just by way of illustration, just by way of helping us to see the value in being generous. Let's go to Genesis, please, chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. I suppose this is the primary reference that we find referred to in Hebrews 13, verse 2. The story of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. In chapter 18, let's pick up the story. Now, the Lord appeared to him, that is to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, while he, Abraham, was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Now let's look at the text for just a moment. Look at the word Lord. In your Bibles, you'll find the word Lord, L-O-R-D. Notice that? All capital letters. You see that? Whenever it's found in that way, it's a reference to the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in a human form, in a pre-incarnate form. See, the Lord Jesus has always existed. He's always been. He became incarnate as the second person of the Trinity, you know, in the person of Jesus Christ. But he appeared to human beings in the past. And in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Abraham in human form as a man. And along with him, two angels as well came to visit him also in human form. So these three visitors, these three guests, these three strangers were messengers. The Lord Jesus Christ and two of his angels came to visit Abraham. Now let's pick up the story in verse 2. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth. And he said, "My Lord," and notice the word Lord there, all in lowercase. You see it there? L-O-R-D. From Abraham's perspective, he only sees them as human beings. And the word Lord there is almost like sir or gentleman. As you say, "Gentlemen, gentlemen, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may go on, since you have visited your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." Now let me ask you, was Abraham practicing hospitality? Did he know these people? Were they strangers to him? Yes, but he went out to them and he said, "You know, fellows, you need to stay. Let me help you. Let me practice hospitality. Let me just wash your feet, give some water for your feet, and some bread, something to drink. Refresh yourselves, and then you can be on your journey." And so they agreed to it. Look at verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the house, into the tent to Sarah, and said, "Quickly, prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes." Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Let me ask you, was it just bread and water that he gave them? No, he was very generous in his hospitality. Now, Sarah only heard bread and water. That's all she heard the first time. Second time, she heard, "Make a meal. Make a rather large meal. Go slay a calf." Now, if you know people in those days, calves were only slain on special occasions. Abraham made this visit a special occasion. Notice the generosity of his hospitality. He didn't have to do it. That's not even what he promised him. But he went out of his way to become a generous host to these three people. Now, when you think of Hebrews 13:2, here's what he's referring to. God is saying, this man was practicing hospitality to strangers. And they were not just anybody. It was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus and two angels visiting with him. Amazing. Did Abraham know this? He had no idea. He had no idea what was going on. And then notice what happened. Look at verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Well, she's there in the tent." And he said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him, just as most women do when they chime in on conversations. Does your Bible say that? Mine says this right here. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was way past childbearing. I mean, she was no spring chick. She was already a senior citizen. Matter of fact, he was 100. She was in her 90s when this promise was made to them. And so verse 12, Sarah, what? She laughed to herself, saying, "After I become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, also being old?" I mean, this is not going to happen. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? What's the answer to that? No. At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a what? Son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. But I want you to get the main point. The main point is that they were barren. They had no son. Now, God had promised them a son. God had said to them in previous chapters, Abraham and Sarah, you are going to have a large, large family. Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky or the sand that's by the seashore. You're going to have a great nation. And here they are, old people, with nothing happening. Nothing happening. Now, you would think that this senior citizens couple here, sitting there, would have given up and been depressed, and they were not. They were not. They were still as happy as ever and generous. That when these perfect strangers showed up, they showed them gracious hospitality, entertained them lavishly. And the return of that was a promise of a son. To give them a son. And sure enough, a year later, Isaac was born. And then later on, as they're about to leave the house, then when they start saying goodbye, they said, oh, by the way, Abraham, we forgot to tell you something. You've been so good to us. You've been so generous with us. We got to tell you something. You know, we're on our way to Sodom and Gomorrah. We're on the way to see how wicked that city is, to destroy it, because God has heard the outcry of their wickedness has reached the ears of God, and God is fed up with it. He's going to destroy the city with fire and brimstone. We're going to go check it out. Need to tell you that. And they told him that. Abraham and Sarah were privy to information that nobody else had. You see, people, when you entertain, when you are generous, there's something that may happen to you. God may bring people into your life who are going to bless you in ways that you would never, ever imagine. You may have people come into your life that are going to share information with you that you would have never known anyplace else. You might have strangers in your life that would have come in to encourage your heart. We prayed for Mr. Burke this morning, Bill Burke. You know, 44 years ago, my wife and I entertained Bill Burke in our home, just himself. He had been, was passing through Southern California, and in our little humble apartment, newlyweds, with the meager resources we had, we asked him to come and have dinner with us. And he sat with us, and he spoke to us. He brought us an encouragement. He brought us a message that we needed at that time from him. He would have probably never told him that. But for us, it was an honor to have him and to have that word of encouragement, all because we were willing to become hospitable to a missionary who was on his way to the Amazon basin to serve God in that capacity. See, you'll never know. If you're not open to new people, if you're not open to those that can come into your life, you may miss out on that opportunity. They are messengers that God brings into your life. And if you are generous with your hospitality, there'll be many, many people that come into your life. Some of these sent by God himself, messengers to bring you a word of encouragement or to bring a blessing into your life that you will have missed out if you are not open to that. Now go to chapter 19. It's possible that he's referring to the second example. Second example in chapter 19. Now, the two angels came to Sodom. Notice only two. What happened to the third? Well, the third was the Lord Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. At this point, he's absent from them. He's absent because he only came to speak to Abraham, but the angels are being sent to Sodom. And the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground and said, now behold, my lords, my sirs, Please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet that you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Verse 3, yet he what? He urged them what? Strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they what? Ate. Now let me ask you, was Lot given hospitality? Yes, he was. Did he know these people? He didn't know who they were. They were perfect strangers to him. But he, being who he was, recognized that it was important for these men to find safe haven. See, Lot lived in Sodom. And Lot was no stranger to the events of Sodom. He knew his city. He knew that this was a very, very wicked town filled with wicked people. And ordinary men could not sleep in the open square. They couldn't just sleep in the open. They couldn't just be out there. There was no place for them to go. Now, don't misinterpret the context here. In the days of Abraham and the days of Lot, there were no Motel 6. There was no public places for them to stay. You either had hospitality or you fend for yourself. There were and the few that there were just havens of robbers and thieves and abusers. And so he realized that these men needed sincere hospitality. They needed to be taken in and taken care of. And so he offered them hospitality. Now he could have said, you know, honey, I asked these two guys to stay with us, but they said no. At least, you know, at least I tried. But he didn't do that. He urged them. He insisted on it. No, I will not take no for an answer. You need to stay with us. He prevailed upon them, and they stayed. Now, you know the rest of the story, that the men of Sodom, all the homosexuals, got riled up. They came to the city, and they came to his house and wanted Lot to throw these two men out to them so that they could abuse them sexually all night long. Lot would not do that. Lot risked his life. He risked his family to protect these men from that kind of danger. See, hospitality needs to be serious. We can't just play at it. We have a phrase in Spanish, you know, where they go something like this, mi casa, su casa, which means what? My house is your house. You know, some of us use that, but we don't mean that. We can say, you know, you can come anytime you want to, but we don't really mean that. We just say it. It's not sincere. Oh, you can call on me anytime you want. Or just if you need something, just ask me. Well, you know, it's really not that sincere. We're not really open to that. See, Lot is showing us something else. He's showing us that hospitality needs to be sincere. If it's tested by danger, then the sincerity is tested. When you know that you have to produce this hospitality, you need to be generous, you need to share, you need to do so in much the same way Lot is showing us here. Friend, your generosity will be tested by the degree of sacrifice involved in it. It'll be tested by the degree of danger involved with that. It's important for us to note that. See, oh, sometimes hospitality is going to be, you know, it's going to be above the normal call. And Lot is referring to us, helping us here understand that. The result of this display of hospitality is amazing, because these two men were here to check out the city and to bring about a sense of judgment. Now notice in verse 14, of chapter 19. Actually, go to verse 13. They say to Lot, we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to his sons-in-laws to be jesting, to be fooling around. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot. Notice that they urged him. Just like Lot urged them, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he what? He hesitated. God said, he said, Lot, get out of here. And Lot hesitated because his family didn't want to go with him. And he didn't know what to do. And the Bible says the angels literally grabbed these men. He grabbed Lot, grabbed his wife. The other angel grabbed the two daughters by the hand and literally dragged them out of the city. Pulled and dragged Lot and his family out of the city. Their hospitality to the angels was repaid by the angels delivering this family from certain doom and certain destruction. Even though Lot was not all persuaded, the angels persuaded him in regards to that. Who knows, my friends? Who knows what danger? Who knows what harm? Who knows what difficulties have been avoided because we have simply been kind to people. We've been kind to strangers. We've been kind to folks that we don't know very well. We've been kind to those around us. Who knows what dangers have been avoided because of that. In other words, you see again that what God is saying, you know, don't be negligent in your generosity. Don't be negligent in your kindness towards others. Sometimes it'll be tested, but be urged upon it. Don't be negligent in regards to that. Make sure that you do that. Now I want you to go to one more example in Luke, in Genesis 24. Another example of what he's talking about, entertaining messengers, entertaining angels. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, Isaac has grown up. This little boy that was promised to Abraham and Sarah, he's grown up, and now he needs a wife. And Abraham and Sarah can't find him a wife where they live, and so they want to find him a good wife, a wife that loves God, and a wife who has great character. And they can't find him in his own hometown, and so they ask their servant to go back to the place where Abraham came from and bring a wife back for their son. And they said, you know, go out and find us a wife, find him a great wife, and if you can't find a great wife, then just come back without her. But promise us that you're not going to take our son back. We want you to bring him a wife, find him somebody, give us an oath, give us your promise, give us your word that you will do that. Now that's the setting. I want you to pick it up in verse 10. This is key. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out on a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. Then he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. This is Abraham's hometown. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. This is the time when women are all there. The men are not there. The women are there to draw the water. And then he says, he has a prayer. He says, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I shall know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Now, he's making a list of requirements of what he wants the gal to be. I want to find your direction, God. I want you to know who it is you've chosen. And he puts this request out there that is out of this world. He's going to say, I want the gal. I'm going to ask her for a drink. And she's going to say yes. And then he's going to water my camels. All what? All 10 of them. Then I will know that she's the gal. Now look at verse 15. Came about before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. Now the girl was very what? Beautiful and a virgin, and no man had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your jar." And she said, "Excuse me? I don't even know you, fool." Is that what your Bible says? Is that what it says? What does it say? She said, "What? Drink, my Lord." And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a what? A drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. And so she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his, how many camels? 10. How much water does a camel drink? I mean, this guy was really put out. Now notice her hospitality. Let them ask you, did she know this guy? No, she didn't know him. But was she given to hospitality? Absolutely generous. Now here's the point. See, that our hospitality is sometimes filled with partiality. It's partiality. And she had unconditional hospitality. She wasn't looking to get something from it. She wasn't. She was beautiful. She was a virgin. You know, she had things going for her. This guy was a stranger. He's obviously an older guy because he's like the man in charge. So what did he have to offer? Nothing. But see, she was a person given to hospitality. And she realized he was there in a strange place. That was her turf. These are her ladies, her maidens, what she did regularly. She knew all the men. She knew all the people in the valley. This guy was a stranger. But he needed to be received in a hospitable fashion. And so she did. And she answered him and she said, "You know what, drink." And she offered to even give the camels something to drink. The issue of hospitality. Unconditional hospitality. People, the problem is with most of us is that our hospitality is always conditional. We always check the people out before we even become generous. We need to know something about them. We need to agree with them. We need to like them. We need to feel like somehow they're going to give us something back in return. I'll help you if you help me. Or I'll help you because you helped me. Or I'm going to help you because I want to get something out of you. And so we're always looking for the advantage. Her hospitality was nothing like that. It was absolutely unconditional in that regard. And unconditional. And so what she received, it's interesting. Because you see, what he's looking for was for a wife for Isaac. He was looking for someone that he could take back with him to marry Isaac, the promised child to Abraham. And he was there to do exactly that. And his criteria was that she be a person with a large heart. A person that was able to look beyond appearances. A person that was able to discern the real necessities of human beings. And by making this request, he was able to identify the highest virtue in a woman. It wasn't her beauty. He didn't ask for a beautiful woman. He didn't ask for a virgin. He didn't ask for a person of high standing. No, he asked for a person that had a large heart that would truly love her master's son and be a wife to him. And that's exactly what he found in Rebecca. Now, single people, take a note here. There's some of you single people looking for spouses. Maybe you should follow Rebecca's steps. Maybe you should quit looking at the outside and look at the inside. Maybe you should have a large heart and recognize that by you being partial in your hospitality, by you being selective in your friendship, "Oh, here's a nice-looking guy. I'll be kind to him because he's such a nice-looking stud, you know. He's a real bachelor type, you know. He's good-looking, tall, dark, and handsome, has a fancy car, has a great job. This other guy here, well, he's kind of homely, you know. He's kind of bald, you know. He has a little bit of a bulge around him, and I don't want to look in his direction. Oh, here he comes. I better run the other way." See, maybe you're missing out on the greatest gift in life. Maybe. I mean, look around you to these married people. Look around you. Look at the guy, you know, not too many pews in front of you. He's bald and he's fat. Now go look at the high school annual. He wasn't always like that. He wasn't always like that, but that's the way he became. See, in other words, you can't always look on the outside. You can't always look on the outside. You have to consider the inside. And isn't it amazing? Some of us have become so selective. We only put the superficial out there, just the appearance. And we forget the things that really matter in life. The criteria that really matters in life. And it's pitiful. It is pitiful. It is almost a joke when you talk to older singles. So what do you want to find in your spouse? And they begin with appearance, first of all. You've got to be tall, dark, and handsome. She's got to be beautiful of frame and figure and et cetera. And they look at you and you look like a piano and you want something like that. Well, you want to borrow my glasses and have some perspective on life? In other words, you're tronado, as they say in Spanish. You're like someplace else. See, you've missed out because you see, your generosity, your hospitality is always conditional. You'll say to you'll greet people that you want something from and ignore people that you don't even. The whole issue of bullying that we hear about in our schools is this problem. You bully people that are not like you. You bully the angels that God has sent your way, and you're destroying them, and you're robbing yourselves of the blessing that God has sent your way. Interesting, isn't it? It's an amazing observation. And what God is teaching us here with Rebecca is that she entertained a stranger, a messenger. The man was there with a message. And the message was simple. I'm here to find a wife for Isaac. I've been sent with a message by Abraham, the greatest patriarch of all time, to find a wife for, and that's my message, Rebecca. You know, Rebecca, and you answered it. You did exactly what I asked for. I wanted a gal to be, had generous, unconditional hospitality, and you gave me that completely. And the end result was that this man pulled out jewelry, because the man was not, he was from means. When you come with 10 camels, that is an entourage. And he pulled out jewelry and he said, you know, here's some jewelry for you, Rebecca, and if you want to, come back with me and I'll give you a great husband. And she said, fine, I'll go with you. Amazing observation that this gal was so blessed in regards to this. See, we need to be careful, people, because our hospitality many times is conditional. We check people out first, and then we're nice to them. We look at the outside and fail to recognize what's really inside. And it's important for us to note that. You know, there's a story of a World War II soldier who began a pen pal writing with somebody in the States, a lady in the States, and they shared letters back and forth, and this soldier fell in love with this gal. First, it was just friendship, but they grew on each other, and he fell in love with her. And they agreed to meet. Now, they had never seen each other. There are no photos that were exchanged. They agreed to meet at a railroad station. And so when the soldier came home and he got to the railroad station and she had said to him, you'll recognize me because I'm going to have a red rose on my lapel. So when you see me with a red rose, that is me. Outside, you're going to recognize me. So the soldier got off the train and was walking down the platform looking for a lady with a red rose. And then he saw this lady coming to him with a red rose. But she was rather homely looking, coming at him. And he looked at her and he looked around to see if there's anybody else with another red rose. And there was no one else with a red rose. And so he says, she must be the one. Now he fell in love with her, with the inside. And so he just looked at her and he said, hi, I'm so-and-so. Oh, she said, are you so-and-so? She said, no, I don't know what's going on here. But there's a lady across the street in the coffee shop who told me to wear this red rose And to walk up and down this plank looking for a soldier who's going to call my name, call his name. And she said that if he called me by that name, that you're supposed to meet her across the way over there in that room, in that coffee shop. She's waiting for you over there. And when he went over there, he realized that she was a beautiful woman. But she was testing him. Was he only after looks, or did he really, really love her? And he was like Rebecca. He looked beyond the looks to the woman that she had been contacting and talking to and fell in love with. See, there's a sense where we need to be careful, people, in our hospitality. God's going to bring people into your life that are perfect strangers to you. People in your life that you may not even be attracted to. But be like Rebecca. Be open. Be open to that. And who knows what God will bring into your life? Who knows what will happen and the blessing God has for you? In other words, be generous. Be caring. You don't need to be rich to be given hospitality. You don't need to have a lot. Be willing to share your life with people. The things you have, true or not, in that regard, that's what God did for us. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might become what? Rich. In other words, Jesus Christ made us rich, rich in forgiveness, rich in grace, rich in love. Maybe not rich in possessions. We don't need those things. But rich in forgiveness, rich in his grace, rich in his love. And if you need that today, you might have all the riches in the world. You may have an abundance, but have a deep, dried up soul. Your life is in shambles. There's no joy. There's no peace. You have everything and you have nothing, because the nothing is to be filled by Jesus Christ. Because once you have God, then all the things don't really matter in life. And so let me encourage you that if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ to have him become your Lord, have him become your Savior. Now what I did this morning is I took WD-40, sanctified WD-40, and I squirted your joints. Okay? Be a little bit more liberal. Did I do that this morning to you? Or should I bring some more out? Yeah. And just to encourage us to take this to heart and have God change our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so kind, generous with us. Help us now to be generous with people. It is these sacrifices that truly please you. Thank you. All of us need this, Lord. We all need this from time to time. Help us with it. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.